Hello, and welcome to episode 571 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 LTA Split 3 Week 1 review and LEC Split 3 preview. This episode is lovingly entitled Best Format Ever, and I'm your host, Kang, is joined by two esteemed co-hosts. First, Mr. Mazel PL.
Hello, I'm here. We're going to talk about League of Legends.
Yep.
And it's going to be great.
That is often what we talk about, but not always what we talk about. So we'll keep you honest on that one, Mazel. Also joining us here, we have Yanni.
Kang has finally let me out of the cage, guys. Please, please don't let him put me back in, please.
I don't know how you got a key or who gave you a key or who.
My nails, I'll tell you how I did it. My nails finally grew long enough that I could pick the lock from the outside.
Oh, it's like one of those situations where you were able to like carve out the shape on your nail because it was long enough to Okay. Noted. We'll be changing.
That has less plot points. Never mind. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do spoilers.
Somehow. Somehow Yanni returned.
Final Fantasy. Fantastic Four. You want to talk about
that? Maybe.
Shout out to anybody who enjoyed that movie. I was not among the crowd. I thought it was ugh. And
I was on the fence of liking it, but not all the way on that side of the fence.
Yeah, and almost everybody I know outside has been like, I loved it. And I'm like, I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you found happiness in something.
Happy for you, bud.
Yep, but of course, hey, we're already not talking about League of Legends. Let's get back to it. LPL update. Both of you, notably, on the LPL. So, Mazel, let's get a quick Spark Notes, and Yanni, if there's anything else you want to highlight, you can hop in at the end.
All right, well, the LPL is in full swing. We, speaking of swings, we did have our game canceled last night, which is sad to say, unfortunately, because of the typhoon. So shout out to everybody in Shanghai that was affected and everybody in the surrounding areas of that. But it will be moved to later, so the banger that is IGBLG will be played at the very last day before playoffs. It is the only game of that day. I believe it's the 28th of August. So if you're looking forward to that matchup, make sure you put that in your calendars. But besides that, Top Esports still undefeated. I actually don't believe. Because we did. Yeah, they haven't. They literally have not played since the last time we spoke.
They played a couple hours.
But they play, a couple hours. Well, a lot of hours, at least. But they will be playing tonight. See if they can continue going undefeated. Weibo, BLG still at the top there. BLG haven't played a lot of games. They're still 2-0 with Shadow. Weibo actually looking a lot better, hilariously enough, with Crisp in the roster, sitting at 3-1.
Would you say they're looking crisp?
They are looking crisp. That's Group Ascend, top of the standings. I think some showouts that haven't been doing as good. IG's not looking as good. Anyone's Legend not looking as good. JDG look like absolute horse donkey, and you can make of that what you will. FPX and WE look the same, although it was rumored, or not rumored, but it was announced that Milky Way will be rejoining the FPX roster, which is hilarious because when he left, there was like a lot of problems and there was a reason why he left, and now he's back. You could look into that if you want. EDG are the leaders of Group Nirvana at 4-0. Still looking, all good. And then NIP still looking like the kind of second seed out of Group Nirvana. But that's your breakdown of LPL.
All right. Love to hear it. And you had mentioned the tsunami kind of rescheduling something. If you had
typhoon.
Not heard typhoon, if not everyone. I heard tsunami.
It was two different events. The one in China was the typhoon.
The tsunami was for us.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Two different geological events.
Were they unrelated then?
Yeah, they were unrelated.
Yeah. I just assumed that they were related.
No, we never got the tsunami. They actually got destroyed by a typhoon. One of these things happened, the other one didn't.
Wait, that's crazy. I was going to say, I'm realizing not everybody was even like paying attention to the news or noticed that, but yeah, big earthquake in the Pacific, and there were tsunamis hitting some coasts, but I guess this was a different thing.
Yeah.
So, ain't the world great.
One last second, the rising star of the LPL, his name is Perugia, or in the way you're supposed to, it's actually Palkia, like the Pokemon.
Okay, I like Palkia.
But he has had like a bunch of interviews done because he's been really, really good for like a rookie shot calling support for EDG.
He's been awesome.
And apparently one of like some of the interviews, like one reason why he's oh so passionate is because he used to watch EDG growing up, which, you know, we've gotten to that point in League of Legends where the children are starting to become players. And yep. It's kind of cool. It gives a lot of motivation, a lot of story building for him. So keep an eye out for Perukia.
That's awesome.
It's funny you mentioned that, by the way, because before the podcast started, Kangas and I were talking about Gekkos and how he started playing League when he was one. Or not playing League, I'm sorry. League started becoming a thing when he was 1 year old. Like, that's crazy.
He was born a year before the open beta. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and we again, within the next couple of years, we will enter into a phase where pro players were born after the game came out.
Now it'll be what patch were they born on?
Yeah, exactly. There can legitimately, I don't know how many like pros in season one or two have had kids like that early, but theoretically we could have like a second generational pro player at some point here. That would be crazy.
Eventually we'll get that. Somebody will drop that nugget of knowledge on us.
So I actually have a whole theory here, but just because like it's kind of related. I know we have a lot to cover today, so I'll try and keep it relatively short. But I have a theory that if League of Legends can just hold on for another 5 years, if League Esports does not completely die, if viewership does not completely tank, if you know the game can still sustain itself, the economy can still sustain it as well, that we're going to be in a really good spot because it'll hit like the Pokemon and like Magic the
Gathering,
like Disney era where it's like, okay, now it's parents playing with their kids. So there'll be a new influx of players coming in.
Exactly.
Their parents played when they were like in the first 2-3 seasons. And now their kids are old enough that they're playing with them. 5 years from now, we're going to have like people that had a kid in season 6 that's now old enough to be a pro. And like if they've been playing since they were 13 with their parents as like a gamer family, boom, now 4 years of experience under their belt, maybe they're good enough to go pro. I actually do think that like 5 years is the big mark, that if we can just survive, we're going to see a renaissance in League of Legends from new players coming in, you know, exciting new pro storylines and all kinds of stuff like that. So that's just my theory. I don't know. Do you think I'm in the mark, Yanni? Do you think it's
I like the theory.
Timeline?
I like the theory. I think the longer that a game can survive at like this level, the better. You mentioned TCGs like you know Pokemon and Magic. I mean, a lot of new TCG games have that problem. A lot of games in general have that problem where they don't quite hit that mark of being like an endemic game. And you know, we're really close to that with League of Legends. And yeah, as you said, just got to hang on. I mean, 5 years is a long time, but also a very short time. Yeah. It's a long time in League Esports, and it's a short time in life.
Well, even a long time in League Esports, it feels like the years are getting shorter. I think that is a natural part of age, but even in the League Esport ecosystem, because we have so many more splits and now even more international tournaments, like it does feel like this year has flown by.
You gotta remember that like 5 years is like 40% of League's life right now.
I don't know, it's not even 40%, it's like 30 some percent because the game's been around now for 15 years.
Oh sure, 33%, my bad.
Yeah.
I was kind of like thinking of like season 2 season 3 when it really fully entered the zeitgeist of like
True.
gaming.
But if you do put it that way, I guess, then we need to survive another 25% of what we have currently survived.
Oh, bro, I don't know if I like those odds, brother.
That does actually sound much worse. You know, we just got to hold on, baby. We just got to hold on. There's some other global news topics to cover, though. Up first, roster news. Na'Vi's roster over in the LEC has been confirmed. It is going to be as such. Top lane, Adam returning from Rogue. Mid laner, Larson returning from Rogue. I also put what the fuck next to my notes there. Support, Execute is returning from Rogue, but they also have Malrang as a support listed on the roster, so we'll see which one they actually commit for this coming weekend. Now, the new players in the jungle, they signed two junglers. Rylek is a Turkish EMEA player, and then Thagar is a Spanish EMEA player. Again, not sure which one they are going to play. They have a lot of double rosters here. It seems like my expectation is, let's cover AD Carry, and then I'll get the expectation. AD Carry, they have signed Hansam D from the LCK. He was recently also in the LLAs playing for Estral Esports, so you might remember him from some internationals. And then Patrick is still coming from Rogue. His contract got extended. So my expectation is Adam, Rylik, Larson, Hansam D execute, but there's a chance that they swap around jungle support and AD carry depending on performance or just whatever the coaching staff is looking for. It seems like same coaching staff is coming in from Rogue. They basically grabbed the Rogue players and then added some of their own. So that's why I'm not expecting Patrick to get as much. And honestly, Malrang might get more play than execute as well, since he was kind of brought on as well. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But also a topic I want to get your thoughts on, it, Yanni. The LTA did something new this weekend. I'm not sure if everybody caught it or even if you caught it, because it was at the very end of show day on Sunday.
Oh,
did you stick around to watch the Pick Your Fight ceremony?
I did watch a little bit of the Pick Your Fight ceremony.
All right. Honest opinions. I want to get your thoughts on it, because I feel like this was something that was a bit of a shot in the dark. It's like a weird format, but we tried to make it like a fun moment out of this. Honest opinion, what were your thoughts on the ceremony?
So I really liked the idea. I thought the idea was really cool. I do think that the players could have leaned into it a little bit more. It didn't feel like there was as much talk back and forth than I thought. And I think the big problem with it as a whole is the way it's formatted, how it's just like, okay, we're going to talk to this player. Okay, we're going to swap over and talk to this player. But, like, they need an opportunity to, like, kind of interrupt themselves a little bit or, like, interrupt each other a little bit. You know, I remember there was, when it came down to picks, there was some talking about, like, oh, well, you know, like, we had a pretty okay time with you guys in scrims and stuff like that. You need to have that, like, little bit of jawing back and forth. And unfortunately, when they're each taking their turn, you don't get that immediate sort of jawing. But it was a very cool concept. And these flags that they have are, like, super dope. I really like them.
They are really cool. If you didn't watch it, go check it out. But yeah, each team had like their own banner, and the bottoms of the banners are a bunch of different individual stripes that can be removed. So if you beat a team, you take a stripe from their banner and it goes on your banner. So the teams that are doing better will have bigger banners than the teams that are doing poorly.
I think it'd been cool if y'all would have talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was something that visually was there. Just logistically trusting the pro players to undo the latches and then the banners. We're like, let's avoid that because chance that goes poorly.
I think the concept was okay. I think it's just tough when you kind of have an expected outcome of what the picks are going to be, and the way that it's played out, it's like, There's no real variability. There's no real like, oh my god, that moment, right? Like, because you know what the teams are going to be picking, and it's going to go from top to bottom. You're going to go from worst to best, right?
Exactly.
And so I think that becomes really difficult. I think, like Yanni said, I definitely think some of the action like was a little bit hit or miss. Jack B there,
that was okay. So funny.
It was all right, but he like literally killed all the energy. And then Isles like just became a little baby boy. Like, I love Jack and his C9 and I want to fight them. But I don't know. It was okay. I think it definitely could have gone better, but it was okay. The flags, fucking sick though. I love
they
the flags.
We need to have a flag bearer.
Those as props. Like, those will be up behind the teams while they're playing. We're going to use them on
favorite
the
moment
was
Sniper not knowing how to hold his.
That was great. Yeah, he's like holding it up, not resting it on the ground. And Inspired's like, you don't have to hold it, brother.
These flags need to always be a thing.
Like, his face and like his expressions were so literally perfect for that moment.
It was great. It was great, dude. And happy for the feedback. If the community has feedback as well, throw it in the Discord. Let me know. Shoot me a tag. Just because that was our first time doing it. And obviously, we've already gone over it ourselves. We had our story meeting today earlier. So we're going to try and like fix it up a little bit and try and find ways to make it better, specifically like you're saying, Yanni, giving the players more chance to talk rather than just like I tried to keep it open so that they could talk about what they wanted to, but I think that's an instance where I should ask a pointed question, because if we're trying to get their thoughts on each other, yes, in that instance, of course, they're just going to pick the lowest seeded team that they can. Yeah. So it's not like, why'd you pick the guys? instead, it would be like, ask matchup questions, or like what their win conditions are versus teams. You know, come up with more pointed things to get them actually talking, and then get each other's opinions of what each other say, so we get more crosstalk. Maybe get two mics. That could be another one. So,
that's what I was actually about to suggest, is like the clip-on mics or something for those guys. And then you get to have your own, essentially.
We're looking at options to make it a little better. Unfortunately, we will be in the closet, as I like to call it. We call it Howling Abyss, though, because Valorant will have
that's
the main
stage
this coming weekend.
It's kind of dope that it's called Howling Abyss.
It is kind of, that's like the internal official name for it.
I like that.
But it does mean that we'll get more of that kind of behind-the-scenes vibe with our interviews and stuff, which I think, honestly, the ceremony on stage, it's got to be cooler, but there are some benefits of doing a more behind-the-scenes style. Like, we can be more casual with it and stuff like that. So we'll see how it works this weekend. It's only going to be for 2 weekends, funnily enough, because then at the end of week 3, there is no deciding because teams just get seeded into the knockout phase based on their standings. So
also,
we only get 2 chances to do this, but you know what? It's something new, something fun, and again, the banners are the cool thing that should be sticking around for a longer time.
It's better than not doing anything, which I think
exactly.
Is
yeah.
Couple things, real quick. Can you suggest to somebody that you can purchase chromas for Jarvan that give you different flags of these?
Ooh, that would be sick, actually.
Yep, something super small, small amount of RP. You literally just get a chroma for Jarvan that maybe changes the color straight up of the skin, and he gets one of these flags. Number two, why did they have to call the format pick and play? It sounds like a child's like play toy thing.
So, yeah, so it's the pick and play format, section of the split, but we also have like a tagline, which every split, the fans don't always notice this. We don't like,
of course not,
advertise it that often. Sometimes you do more than others, but there's always a tagline. So like a lot of people remember like LCS Fresh.
Yep,
that was a tagline that was very public, but some of the taglines are more like Talkier Split was a tagline, which wasn't really like thrown out there nearly as much. Last split, what was it last split? It was What Fuels You. That was the tagline. So a lot of our content was like trying to get to know what motivates the players and like fuels the players. And then this split, it's Pick Your Fight is the tagline. Pick Your Fight is way cooler than Pick and Play.
It is, bro. It is.
Yeah. So I wish we just called it the Pick Your Fight ceremony or Pick Your Fight segment, but yeah, whatever. Yeah, the format's funny, hence the name of the episode. I'll just leave it at that. Other topics, other variety topics going around. I made bold statements last week, and I'll own up to it. I said I was going to create a fantasy group for Discord.
Yeah.
Definitely forgot to do that. But now it's going to become a bit on the broadcast where I forgot to lock my fantasy team, my roster in for last weekend anyway. But we're going to advertise the fact that you don't have to play the entire time. You can create a league at any point, and then everybody's points will start from that point in the league. Obviously, you're not going to be able to get like top 100 on the big things and stuff like that to then get the prizes, but we can still start league. So I will be officially creating the Late and Tardy Association, LTA, for anybody who also forgot to set a fantasy roster. So I'll be posting that at some point tomorrow, and it'll be in the LTA Discord as well. So if you are interested in joining a late fantasy group, hop in on that. Otherwise, you can also yell at me for forgetting to do it in the Discord. If you haven't joined it yet, that is a link in the description wherever you are listening along with links to our Patreon and our merch shop if you would like to support the pod. With that being said, though, that's all the global news that we had prepared. If we missed anything, let us know. Otherwise, we're going to hop in to LTA North and LEC action, starting with LTA North, because that's where we actually had games happen this last weekend. And Mizell, we talked about how the ceremony at the end of the day on Sunday was a little kind of predetermined. Why was it a little predetermined? What was a trend that we saw this weekend? Okay, we might have lost Mizell for a second. Yanni, what's the trend that we saw this weekend?
A trend that we saw this weekend, these games were not close, bro. It was.
They were all 2-0s. Every single one was a 2-0. Yeah, and so the ceremony on Sunday, you pick your opponent based on standings and like power rankings, but you cannot pick somebody with the same record as you. And so since everything was a 2-0, you could only pick an 0-2 team can only pick a 2-0 team, which made it very, very wrong.
Yeah, I really thought that when this format was initially concepted, that it was going to be like, oh, like the 1-0s played against each other and the 0-1s played against each other.
That's what you would... The way it would have fixed is if, like, literally just if TL100 went to 3 games. And that was the one most likely to go to 3 games. 100 Thieves just kind of shat the bed. We'll talk more about them this weekend, or from last weekend. But if that had just gone to 3 games, suddenly it probably looks like... Like, let's imagine TL still wins. A DSG picks 100 Thieves, and then... nobody's going to pick C9 or Fly at that point. So then we would get C9 Fly another match.
This could have just been a Swiss bracket.
It really could have just been a Swiss bracket.
Like this irks me as a card game player. This should have been Swiss. Yeah.
It was a cool idea to like pick your opponent, but because we only do it 2 weeks, we only pick for 2 weeks. And then that third week goes into the elimination phase. It really doesn't feel like we get to deliver the hype, especially if it goes worst case scenario, where this coming weekend is also all 2-0s.
I hate to tell you this, brother.
Good chance based on the matchups. Also, it meant that our debut marquee matchup for LTA North Split 3, the first game that you tune into if you're excited about a season after the MSI break, Fly DSG. Because seeding-wise, it's we always do the defending champions match. Usually, it is a rematch from the finals. But because of seeding, they played DSG because DSG was last place.
At least that one had a little bit more juice, right? Because it's like brand new mid laner and a talent. Yep. Like, you know, it's got at least a little juice to it.
And then he licked his elbow.
Dude, that was awesome. Arsh's tweet was so funny when he was just like, don't say we don't have NA talent. And it's just Darkwing's licking his elbow, bro. Almost like, this is the NA talent I came for.
Yeah, that one was, I was looking through. So for the new players, we had them fill out a survey. Because I wanted to do a bit. We did the segment. It did not go smoothly where I was like going to run through the new players and like I'm jogging in place wearing like workout gear while like I talk about like fun facts about the new players.
Oh, that already sounds like a bad idea.
It fucking crash and burn, dude. whatever. It's fine.
They can't all be winners.
They can't all be bangers. Yeah, exactly. But I noticed that the fun fact for Darkwings was that. So then I prepped Kobe, who was doing the interview, and I was like, make him do it on camera. And he was like, all right, I'll do it. And so then he actually did it. I was like, fuck yeah, dude, let's go. All right, but talking about the games, they were all 2-0s, and none of them, I can't even like recommend to watch really any of these. I know that we usually do like, hey, these are the series you should watch if you couldn't.
The only thing,
maybe C9 Lion.
I would actually say Team Liquid 100 Thieves because it ended up being like a comeback from TL, I guess, in the first game. I mean, TL played pretty disgustingly in this series, honestly. If you're just like looking for a close match, I think it's TL 100 Thieves. But if you're looking for a good match, you might want to like go to LCK or LPL or something like
LCK,
that with your
LPL,
time this week.
Or get excited for LEC this weekend because there are a couple of good matches this weekend. LTA, unfortunately, did not deliver any great ones. And also, again, looking forward, it's going to be tough there as well. Fly DSG, I mean, it was Fly DSG. DSG put up a fight. Shout out to Darkwings for having, I think, like, it wasn't a blowout debut. You're up against Quad, and I think he held his own for well enough, but you're up against the number one team. C9 Lion, they have fucking Yaya up in top lane. Used to be Bajani.
You mean Yayo?
Yeah, Yayo.
Famously
used to be Bajani, in NACL, played for CLG Faith, won one game out of 30 that they played in that season. And he, I mean, this isn't to disparage him. I mean, shout out to him. It's supposed to be Zamuto up in the top lane. We've talked about him on the podcast, that why you should be excited for Zamuto, or at least paying attention to him. Visa issues abound, and now Yayo has to step in, and it's a rough situation for him. It's a rough situation for Lion. Shout out to Yayo for even stepping up. He was at Fisher College getting his degree here in the States, a Venezuelan player. So he stepped in to try and fill the shoes. He did not look good. Like, oh my God, Thanatos was gapping him. And was kind of like the reason that Lion was falling behind in these games, outside of Lion's consistent trend of having poor team fight setup. And then, like you said, Team Liquid, 100 Thieves. This is where things started to get interesting. I actually had 100 Thieves predicted to win this. This is the one difference that I made from the rest of the pod last week. Yanni, we didn't get your predictions. Who did you have? I'll just trust you. Did you have 100 Thieves or Team Liquid?
I would have had Team Liquid in this game. I find it really difficult to trust 100 Thieves, not only because 100 Thieves have shown multiple times in the past that you cannot really trust them as a team to perform on any given week, but given the fact the circumstances around the organization and everything like that, like, it's hard as a player to, like, get up and perform when you know that, like, your future is in flux.
Yeah. It's like, I was hoping they would feel motivated to do better, because even Sniper, he did a pregame interview, and it was he's basically saying, yeah, like, we're basically fighting to get picked up next year. Like, that's what we're competing for. 100 Thieves is gone. This has been confirmed. 100 Thieves has said it publicly. The players obviously know, and so, like, they're not playing for 100 Thieves right now. They're playing for themselves.
And that's never good.
I hoped it would motivate them to be better, and unfortunately, the play that we saw in the Rift, it looks like they are demotivated. And FBI in particular, man, he had a bad series. I know Dom went hard on him on socials. He clipped a moment and is like the Lucian ulti.
The anti-Cadral.
The anti-Cadral, yeah. that was a rough moment, rough look for FBI. But even like Quid was like down in CS, Victor versus Annie. Or maybe not down, but like it was even game state, Victor versus Annie. Like typically Victor's supposed to get a slight lead in that matchup. Yeah. At least we have seen Victor's getting slight leads in that matchup. And it's Quid. Like you think that Quid should be able to, you know, have a very comfortable lane against a laner like APA, who's typically known more for his side laning than his in-lane performance. So yeah, that was tough as 100 Thieves believer, as 100 Thieves stan the past couple of months. But shout out Team Liquid. I will actually say on the positive side for them, Yuji looks very, very solid, very, very comfortable for the team. And that was my big hesitation for power ranking Team Liquid higher, was they had one good season or series last split with Yuji, and every other, even though they beat Dig, it's like everyone should beat Dig. And Yuji wasn't like the reason they won that either. I actually thought Yuji played very well in this series. So, shout out Yuji. I think that he is looking more comfortable with the team than I had expected him to right now. But then Yanni, it finished with Dignitas versus Shopify Rebellion, and that was another schlack. And despite Dig having Photon come in, new top laner for them, did you have any big opinions or big takeaways from Shopify Rebellion versus Dig?
Not in particular. I do think it was very concerning to see Shopify Rebellion in that first game. Like, they were cruising, and they tossed this game really hard into a Gwen, but thankfully, yep, Palafaker just saves their bacon, right? He comes in right near that blue buff and hits, like, a three-man Tibbers, and, yeah, he, you know, he dies pretty quickly on that side of the fight, but it ends up being a huge fight win for Shopify, and that's how they end up winning. But then, like, in the second game, it's the same thing, right? Because they toss that game at an objective where they just play an objective poorly. And in the second game, it happens again. They're up early. They position themselves poorly at an objective fight. They lose the objective fight. And then they get down all of a sudden. And, I mean, honestly, if Palafox didn't steal that Otacon, like, that would have been a huge difference, because Shopify had a ton of Spirit Petals. Yep. After picking up that Otacon, like, sometimes you'll see an Otacon steal and, like, teams are kind of even in petals, but this was, like, a noticeable difference that you are going to notice in your team's power. So, you know, shout out Palafox for basically being a large reason why Shopify ended up 2-0-ing. But if they continue to play like that, I know it's very early. It's literally the first series of the final split of the regular season. But if that's an indicator of future play, this is a team that is not going to really get me too excited.
Yeah, I think that in general, I was happy that Palafox was able to step up, but to what you were saying, the way that they had to win that Otacon fight was very funny, and like not the way that you would expect a top three team to take down a bottom three team. But they got the 2-0 at the end of the day. There wasn't really a moment in that series where I was like, ooh, Dignitas are going to win this. I was like, nah, they're still like fighting tooth and
nail. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I was like, oh, Shopify, but like, especially the Gwen game, I was like, Shopify put themselves in a position to like lose, and if Dignitas were a better team with this Gwen, I think they would win.
Yeah.
However, it is Dignitas, yeah. And you know my opinions on Dignitas.
I do. I am aware of your opinions on Dignitas. Again, I think Photon looked better than Surdy, though, and I'm a big Surdy fan. Wish the best for him. Hopefully
you take that
he can
back.
Still stick around and find another team, but I do think that like Photon did seem to be more comfortable on the Rift than Surdy was.
Yeah, bro, because they probably let Photon play his things.
true. One of which was the Gwen.
True.
But that brings us into this coming week's predictions. Let's start talking about week two here. Starts off, again, this is probably the... I don't even know if this is the closest match.
No, it's not. It's not the closest match.
It starts off with 100 Thieves Fly. And this is because 100 Thieves was the third or the fourth to pick, which basically meant no pick. The bottom three teams will get to choose, and then the last two teams that remain just go against each other. So 100 Thieves FlyQuest was just predetermined based on who Lion, Dig, and DSG chose. And I got Fly 2-0. We all got Fly 2-0.
Yeah.
If the last week's version of 100 Thieves is what we're seeing, I do not think this is the 100 Thieves that can beat FlyQuest like they did in split number one to make it to the finals versus TL. So then that leads into Lion versus TL. Does it get better?
No.
No, it's TL 2-0. Because TL, again, expectations a sub-top laner.
So it's really interesting. I want to just talk about this a little bit. Even without a sub-top laner, I think that this would still be TL. Because I remember last split, like, picking Lion to beat TL because TL were in such, like, disarray and Lion was, like, the best of the bottom.
Struggling.
Like, even the best of the bottom Lion against this TL, this would be a 2-0 because TL's growth from the time that they had a bunch of turmoil with Umpty and Eugene weren't sure what was going on. It seems like they've grown pretty nicely and have started to, like, stabilize themselves a little bit more. And at this point, you're just kind of like waiting if Grandpa Impact is ever going to wake up from his nap. He might not, but even then, he's better than anybody that they could trot out. He'd be better than Zamuto, so I think this is a pretty clear 2-0. But I do like that. I think this is more so a 2-0 because TL is making strides rather than, you know, Lion's scenario that they're in somehow.
Yeah, TL has noticeably improved since split two, so 2-0 there. Then C9 Dig happens. This is Sunday's games that we're getting into now. Yeah, we got C9, 2-0 across the board. I don't see a world where Dignitas is able to take a game off of this version of C9. This C9 looked fierce versus Lion and just like shut everything down. Yeah. It's going to be Photon versus Thanatos, which they did actually have a slight overlap in LCK Challengers. Our stats team for LTA is going to dig a little deeper into that, so we're going to take a look at some of the tape as well ahead of this weekend so we can kind of educate the audience on how that looked last time. But expectation, definitely, yeah, it's going to be C9.
Yeah, then, if you can't beat Shopify Rebellion, like especially when they try to gift wrap a game to you, you can't beat C9.
Yeah, I think Dig's best shot of winning a game was the last weekend. It's only going to get tougher. Then it is DSG versus Shopify Rebellion. This one, arguably, cross your freaking fingers.
This is the
Darkwing
closest
versus Palafox. NA mid versus NA mid. Darkwings should have some experience here. Bot lane, B-Voy's always left on an island to save his roams. Maybe Rahel can get some kind of lead. If DSG can just pick up a game, it fixes week three and makes the schedule so much more interesting. But I don't believe it. I actually have Shopify Rebellion 2.0.
I think you're crazy.
But Yanni, you do believe it. You got Shopify Rebellion 2.1.
Yeah, I just think that the Shopify we saw against Dignitas is closer to the Shopify that, like, closer to their final form, right? And, you know, when you start talking about these teams that aren't as good, you throws come into play. And, you know, these players are all at a very solid baseline level that if you throw games like you did, like, obviously Dig could not take advantage, but, like, if Shopify throws, like, the same game against Dig, like, five times, like, Dig probably wins two of them. And I'm kind of subscribing to that theory. I think that Disguise could definitely punish them if they don't play super cleanly, and that Shopify is not a team to really play super cleanly, in my opinion. So that's why I think that Disguise can definitely take a game. Now, if I were to, you know, obviously we're, you know, well, actually, no, we can talk about this now since Riot made their change. If I were to put money on it, I probably would put money on a Shopify 2.0. However, I do believe that Disguise can take a game, and that's why I'm picking them to at least take one here.
Okay. Mazel, you have DSG 2-1. You're the only one to not go with the rest of the cast for who's winning. You actually think Disguise can
take it. I had to be a black sheep.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I thought you were going to start going, bah. Like,
no thoughts, head empty, bro.
You know what? Respect, honestly.
Well, if you start thinking about it too much, then I'm gonna change my outcome. Just don't think about it.
Yeah, I would love it if any one of the bottom four teams can get a game versus any of the top four teams. Suddenly, the pick phase for week three or week two at the end of week two, going into week three, becomes much more exciting. But if not, it's just gonna be even worse next week. So we are all rooting, praying, wishing, hoping that any one of these series goes to three games, and an upset would make it even better. So let's hope we get it.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, Mazel, we didn't get a lot of your thoughts. What are your honest thoughts on the formatting for LTA North and, like, this split? Because I think a lot of people that had excitement for it, suddenly it waned once they realized what we were in for week
two. No, I think you have to have a really strong region to have this kind of format. And unfortunately, LTA does not have
that. No!
There's a couple really strong teams, and that's awesome. But when more than half of the rest of the teams are, like, middling or below average, like, this kind of format just becomes an absolute clusterfuck. So, like, in theory, it's an awesome format. In theory, it's really cool. It would be even cooler if it was like a second part to one split or something. But starting off the split like this against teams that not only are not proven, but also are coming off like bad records from last split, I think it's just a whole chemical reaction of bad. And like, that's why it sucks, because like the format itself could be really good. But at this point, man, like, for LTH, do double round robin, like a normal fucking split. Like, I know that there's like some weird cross conference like finals thing, but like the least you can have is like a normal long split for a split three that's going into Worlds.
Yeah, I think the fact that for the first, let's imagine it's all worst case scenario and it's 2-0s across the board again. That means, in ahead of Worlds, C9 and FlyQuest will play each other maybe in two best of fives.
Yeah.
For the entirety of summer.
Yep.
That's it. That's all they get. And then they'll play some LTA South teams.
And that sucks.
Whichever one's lower seed will play some LTA South teams. There's a chance we actually get a third best of five if it's C9 FlyQuest in the championship match as well, because we get the North playoffs where they would play each other twice in the double elim bracket, and then in the cross conference play where they could match each other in the finals as well. But like, that I would love for them to get some regular season games versus each other as well, and not just these knockout games. I know the knockout specifies probably better like you get, you know, better competition between them. They had banger series last split, but we're denying the fans that matchup in the regular season too, which builds the hype going into playoffs. Now the story is going to be they haven't played each other since last finals. Yeah. So
I think the other like problem that continues to rise its head in North American esports is just like Play more games, guys. Like, I know it costs money to put on a broadcast. Yep. Use the closet more. I don't give a shit. But when you're playing a quarter, if not less, than the games, than the teams that are winning everything are doing, then you're not giving yourself the best tools to be best, to be better.
Yeah.
It just sucks. Like, literally, LPL played five times the amount of games that I think it was TL played in this in Split 2. And I think that's just absolutely wild.
Jeez.
It was Split 1. Sorry.
Guys, I think I have the solution.
That's still crazy. Yeah?
I've come up with the solution. All right, you ready for this? This is going to be fire. This is going to be awful just for Sundays for reference. This will be, like, undoable. But I would love something like this. I would love best of fives. However, Friday, you play game one. Tuesday, you play game two.
What?
All right, I'm sorry. Friday, Saturday. I don't know why I said Tuesday. Saturday, you play game two. Sunday, you play games 3, 4, and 5 if necessary.
That sounds... I don't know if I'm on board for that one, man.
Well, so I was like thinking best of threes, and you do game one Friday, game two Saturday, game three if necessary Sunday, but there could be a world where there's just no Sunday games, and that would be bad. But like that way, it's the best of both worlds, right? Because you get to continue the series, the teams get to go, they get to go prep for the next game, they get the extra time. Maybe that'll allow them to think on their feet at internationals because they'll have more prep time, and that way it'll be a more automatic thing. I don't know, guys. What do we think?
It's
one of those things similar to Fearless where if that's something that we do, everybody better fucking do it. I don't think it benefits any one region to do it, and if the other regions don't, because you're not actually gonna have the time to do that type of drafting and scouting and stuff at international events then. So it doesn't translate to the international stage.
Well, I actually don't necessarily agree, and here's why. You could figure out your process and then over the course of the season refine your process and try to ensure, like, at the end of game one that within 5 minutes you are prepped for the next game, and then you just get to go to sleep.
I'm trying to think of something unique. You're trying new material, and I appreciate that. I'm not bought in yet, but maybe if I think about it more, I'll start to...
No, don't buy into this. This is, like, awful.
Yeah. Anybody that wants Yanni to be next commissioner of the LTA, say in the Discord, and maybe he can make some of that happen in the future. But for now, that's LTA.
Hell yeah, brother.
There we go. That's LTA in a nutshell. Last week's results, this week's predictions, and that means that there's nothing to do but hop across the sea and talk about LEC. LEC is coming back for the first time, I think, ever on this pod. We're going to have LEC and LTA desynced because LEC is a week behind and not because we're a week behind. It's always us that are trailing. Now we get to see the reverse. LEC's got an interesting summer format. It's going to be two groups, Group A and Group B, and then they're going to do a single round robin best of three in those groups. The bottom team is out. They're out for summer split, and then it will be the top eight going to a double elim playoff with the bottom teams going into the lower bracket right away. The groups are as follows. Group A, Giant X, KC, Movistar Koi, the reigning champs. Navi, Natus Vincere, the new team on the block that took Rogue's spot. And Team Vitality. So, Team Vitality is getting shit on. They're not making it out of that group. That's a scary group. Even GX was showing that they were a threat last split. And maybe Navi shits the bed and Vitality can sneak in. But even Navi's roster, I think I have a little more faith in. But when you got KC, Koi, and GX in your group, that's tough. The other group, I'm going to call the group of life because there's two tough teams in here. That's Group B. We got Fnatic, G2, so the old kids on the block, with SK, Team BDS, and Team Heretics. SK, BDS, and Heretics will be beating each other up for those two spots in playoffs from that group, whereas I'm imagining Na'Vi and Team Vitality beating each other up in Group A. So with that said, the schedule for week one predictions is going to be as follows. It starts off, KC gets to debut the LEC split. That's right, not McCoy. And it is going to be up against Navi, the new kids on the block versus the, I think, undisputed most popular, or at least most vocal online fan organization in KC. We all got KC across the board. We got the French love here. So if you look at Navi's roster, again, like I said, I think that they're going to be able to do some damage, but they still have freaking Larson, dude. Like, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
JoJo's going to smack Larson all around. Or not JoJo. Vladdy's going to smoke Larson all around. Oh, but actually, now that I say that, I did realize I forgot a roster news information that happened in LEC. Vladdy, apparently. Yanni, I think actually you're the one that noticed this.
I did, yes.
You want to tell me the story between Vladdy and the other mid laner that KC currently have?
Yeah, so apparently, sources say, I don't know how reliable these sources are, is that Niski will fight for Vladdy's spot in the mid lane, according to Kalist. So I think it's just a way to kind of keep Vladdy motivated a little bit. And, you know, I wonder if he's got some sort of motivation issues. I didn't really notice anything, obviously, only speaking from the outside. This doesn't really happen to star players, and I think Vladdy has the potential to be a star player. So this does give me some pause and cause for concern.
Yeah.
Pause and cause? That's a pet store name.
Wait, really? Right?
Wait, is it?
No.
It should be. Okay.
Could be. You want to invest right now?
That's actually a good idea. Okay, let's bank that for later. That'll fund the next scouting tournament that we do. I think that makes things weird for Vladdy. I still think Vladdy is better than Niski. But this really does prove that Niski wanted out of support. He was like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to be a support player. Fuck that role. I went back in mid lane. And what a hell of a mid laner. He set his eyes on Vladdy. You know, first team all pro. Very, very solid mid laner for EU. We'll see if Niski's able to do it. I'm expecting Vladdy to get a lot of stage time, though. And I'm still expecting AKC 2-0. Then we also have Team Heretics versus Fnatic. Kicking things off after. That's going to be, it's a Fnatic 2-0. I think it is. There's going to be a lot of one-sided matchups. This is all
they got to follow the LTA.
Exactly. They saw how we did it, and we're like, that seems nice. They all got out early from the studio. Let's see if we can do that, too. These are the Saturday games happening. Then Sunday, we have BDSSK. This is where things get a little more interesting. I have BDS 2-1. Yanni does as well. Mazel still thinks BDS 2-0. I just think that SK, you know, they're bad. I think BDS is bad, but I think BDS is a little less bad than SK, who have made some of the craziest roster moves. Abadaga coming back in. Like, what are we doing? Are you a similar thought there, Yanni, that you just have them taking up a game even just because BDS is a rough team as well?
You know, all right, I'm going to say it. Everybody was talking about Abadaga doing real good. He's played more solo queue than ever. He's doing real well. I mean, eventually, at some point, that's got to translate, right?
I don't think it has to. I watched a lot of his games here in the North. And
he was not good.
Yeah. He was doo-doo all
But bad. You know what? You know, even the worst, even players who are, like, not really as good as they used to be, do find a way to turn back the clock sometimes. And you know what? If there's ever going to be a series for that, it's this one.
All right. So you think Abadaga can actually step up and get the better of Nuke for a game?
He doesn't need to get the better of him. He just needs to not be the problem. And his team needs to play well. True. And he should be okay.
All right, fair enough. We'll see. And also, we'll keep our eyes on Skeens and DNDN, a.k.a. D's Nuts, D's
Dun
Nuts.
Dun
Dun. Dun
D's Nuts, D's
I'm
Nuts.
I'm going to call him D's Nuts, D's Nuts. That is the first series on Sunday. Then it's GX versus KC. We all have KC across the board. Mazel does actually give enough respect to GX to take a game, though. And I think that's fair, actually. Like, GX showed Jackie's, Noah, Yzma. Like, they actually do have some firepower on GX. I think that this team can do damage.
Just not against KC.
He's got good drafting as well. Just what?
Just not against KC.
Well, enough damage to get a game, you know. So, not Demizel's prediction there. I think that's a likely outcome as well. But I just have enough faith in KC to clean it up. Then we get to Monday. That's right. LEC still has games happening on Mondays, and that means that we will have two best of threes, starting with SK versus Fnatic. We all think Fnatic take this one. Mizel actually does give SK one game. That one I will not respect. I think SK's going to really struggle here, unless you. Just think that Poby might take some time on Fnatic to warm up because
Poby Bryant
roster move that they had made.
Some roads lead to him.
Yeah, just not T1s.
Yeah, they do.
Then GX versus Vitality, and we all agree this one's a little closer. We have GX 2-1. I think the Vitality will still struggle here, but I think that. You know, I'll give them, now they don't have Niski running it down in some of their games, maybe Fleshy's enough to get them across the finish line. Yanni, what's your reason for GX dropping a game here?
You know, I just don't think they're an overly consistent team. And I do think that Vitality has shown that they're a team that, you know, they can occasionally snap a win off. Fleshy is hopefully not going to int his face off like some other players.
Yeah. Fleshy, when he was playing in LCS, if you remember back on Immortals, that's the last time I remember seeing his gameplay. I don't remember him being like an egregious inter, but I also wasn't casting him back then. It was more of like casual watching. So yeah, I'm not exactly sure what to expect from this guy here. But best of luck to him. That's it for LEC predictions, though. So again, there's 3 days of games for LEC. Don't forget that we do have those.
A lot of games.
It's super weak. It's a lot of games. And they're going to have I believe it's only a 4-week regular season. If you notice, G2's not playing the first week. They're saving G2 for the second half of the split, which I have a theory. There is a super week on week 3 where G2's playing twice.
You know what that means?
I have a theory there might be another road trip that they just haven't announced yet. I was looking into that. I didn't see anything online. So maybe they do another one of those road shows and they're saving G2 for that. But in the very least, kind of a bummer. We don't get G2 in opening weekend. But they do get a little more rest then. Yeah, that's it. Wow, we got through that pretty fast, I feel.
We did.
Yeah. The time. That's under
you guys, I got a question. You guys like a Monday game? You know, having games on Monday. You like a Monday game?
No.
I prefer as a viewer to have Friday games over Monday games.
Agreed.
But the benefit of Monday is it is easier to advertise that games are happening on a Monday if you have all day Saturday and Sunday to do so, as opposed to on Saturday, Sunday advertising, hey, this next Friday,
there'll be games. That makes sense.
It's way easier to be like, yep, that's it for today. But don't forget, we have games tomorrow, so stick around on Monday. We're going to be starting at this time. Then to say, all right, don't forget, next week on Friday, we have games this time. Like, it's similar, but it is a little easier to get audience retention if it just spills into the Monday. So that's my take on it, Mizzou. What do you think, though?
I mean, I agree with that take of it, but I would rather Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Do a better job promoting, bro.
True. Yeah, and like I said, as a viewer, if I know there's games on Friday, I do prefer to watch Friday. So, wait, Yanni, did we get your thoughts on it?
You know, everybody says you got a case of the Mondays, but how can you have a case of the Mondays when you're watching League of Legends?
True. I thought you were going to say something like, give me a Wednesday game, man. Just throw it in there.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is kind of nice. You know, I'm not going to lie. Having games every day is kind of nice.
We should do that. Why don't we do that? Let's just do the LPL schedule. And let's play at the same time. Let's just make our pros stay up till midnight and then start our series.
Yeah, I like that, actually. Real gamer hours.
Give the LPL a little taste of their own medicine. If they want to watch our games, they got to stay up.
Real gamer hours.
Yeah, because that's what's going to save our region. Speaking of saving our region, how about save a podcast? If you could leave a review on this podcast.
Let me do this one.
A certain number. Yanni, you got one?
Yeah. You ready for this? It's the amount of stars that you leave is how good this joke is. She skeins on my D's nuts till I loopy.
Yikes.
What?
That was a moment of all time. We'll never get those seconds, those precious seconds back.
I guess that's a subjective opinion, but I'm going to give that 5 stars.
I got another one.
That was 5 stars.
I have to. contractually.
Honestly, I would give it six if I could.
You know what? Sneak another one in there. Just sneak one in under the table.
Just for us.
That extra star. If you can, it helps us get noticed. So thank you for those that are able to leave reviews. A reminder, you can join the community through the Discord in the description wherever you are listening along, as well as supporting the pod through the Patreon or the merch store. But most importantly, what I want you to take away from this episode, this moment in time, space, is that we love you. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.